chapter number 11. If you found your place and you're physically able this morning, if you would, please stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter number 11. Look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things, which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out of the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violence taketh it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this Elias, which was for to come, he that hath ears, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and God, I thank you for being such a merciful God and a graceful God, and Lord, I pray for your presence to be in this service today. God, I pray for your touch of the Holy Ghost amongst your children, and Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's one here that's lost and undone without you, God, that something might be said or done of a Holy Spirit of conviction, Lord, that would draw them to an altar of repentance and trusting as you are their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for young Caleb. God, that your mercy and grace would just surround that room. God, that your strength would bear in his body. And God, I pray for a great healing to come on the scene. Lord, of a miracle, Father, that'd be talked about in these days. God, I pray, Father, that you'd move in a way that we've never seen before. And God, I pray that you'd help this your preacher. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. And all of God's children said, Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'll be honest with you. I'm not much of a crier, but when I think of those things, it gets me choked up, and I felt like I needed to share that with you this morning. But listen, we've come into Matthew chapter number 11, taking a different turn here. We've seen John the Baptist sitting in prison, and many of you know the story of John the Baptist. He was a wild man that came from the wilderness, and as he came on the scene, he began to preach a message, and might I say to you, I believe if John was alive today, that would be the message that he would still preach, is make the way straight and get your life right and repent for the kingdom of heaven as at hand. I realize that in 2016, that message is not a popular message. That message, Brother Joe, is not something that our folks want to hear. They want to hear of the sweet love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. But might I say to you this morning, you can never experience the mercy or the grace of God or the love of God until you come to God through repentance and confession of Jesus as your Savior. As we come into Matthew chapter number 11, we're reading a detailed account of John the Baptist sitting in prison for preaching thus such a message. And we see John sending his disciples to ask a question of our Lord and Savior. Some commentators have said that John was doing this because he was in a place of doubt. Some have said, Brother Joe, that John sent those disciples to seek out the Lord simply for their belief in the Lord our Savior. But might I say to you this morning, for whatever reason that John sent them there, whether it was because, Brother Chuck, he was sitting in the prison bars and he felt like the Lord had forsaken him. He felt like the Lord had left him, for he hadn't came and visited, and John needed the reassurance in his own self. I'm glad that I serve a Savior who can reassure us of whatever we're going through. I'm glad in times of sickness, he's a Savior who's faithful. I'm glad in times of death, he is the comfort of my soul. I'm glad in the times of weeping, he is the joy within my heart. And I'm glad when I doubt him most is when he shows up the greatest. But we see John sending two disciples there out of prison, Brother Joe, to seek out the Lord. They ask him a specific question. They simply say this in verse number 3. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I don't know why you're here this morning, but you're here for a specific reason. You're either here this morning because you know in your heart you've came seeking and searching for something from heaven above, and you came this morning thirsting and hungering for the Word of God. You may be here simply this morning because it is a ritual in your life to come to church on Sunday morning or to come to church at preaching hour and support the preacher to preach. You may be here simply this morning because somebody drug you to church. I love my little youngin this morning. She's back there having her a big time on the pew. But Brother O'Dean, she didn't have a choice on whether she was going to church or not. She didn't make a decision, Brother Joe, whether she was coming to church or not. Her mother and I was coming to church, and Brother Chuck, we was not going to leave her by herself in the house. You say, preacher, that's just cruel. Let me say this. I paid too much for them toilets for her to try to put stuff down them. Amen. She's found out what the toilet is, and she loves to lift the lid up and stuff stuff down in it. You say, preacher, that's just gross. Hey, let me tell you something. There's probably a lot of you sucked on a pacifier that fell in a toilet that your mama washed off and stuck in your mouth. Get over it. Amen. Y'all right? Amen. She agrees. You say, preacher, they, some of you youngins, you know that on Sunday morning, mom and dad is going to the church house. You know that you're going to get up and you know that you're going to get a bath and mom or dad's going to lay out your clothes and you're coming to church. They, some of you this morning, your wife or your spouse, Brother Chuck, I don't know about Brother Sean, but I'm going to use it. Brother Chuck brought this young man to church with him. I thank God for you, son. If you want to go ride four wheelers, hallelujah, let's go. But anyways, Brother Chuck brought him to church. He invested time in him to get him here. Some of you others, you're here because somebody requested your presence to be here. But might I say to you this morning, it's not about the preacher. It's not about the choir leader. It's not about coming to church. Hey, you can come into this church and you can leave here just as empty as you walked in. But might I say to you this morning, hey, these disciples were looking for something in their life that they'd never seen before. John the Baptist was sitting there in John chapter number 1 and simply said this, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the whole world. And on the second day, Brother Ryan, he said, behold the Lamb Lamb of God. Why in the world in Matthew chapter number 11 how would John the Baptist be sitting in a prison and say, art thou the Christ? Art thou the one that's come? Or should we look for another? Might I say to you this morning, hey, you've looked for a lot of things. Hey, you've looked for a lot of enjoyment. You've looked for a lot of happiness. Hey, you've searched your soul time and time again trying to find something that'll bring peace within your heart. Hey, I'm glad he's still a God of the peace. I'm glad he's still a God in the midst of the storm. I'm glad he's a God of courage. And I'm glad he can stir and live in your heart. I find it interesting this morning as these disciples approach Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He didn't give them a straight answer and say simply, Brother Robbie, I am the Christ. You know what, Brother Joe, he didn't do? He didn't say, behold, I am the Son of God. Brother Johnny, he didn't look at those disciples and simply say this, I am the chosen one. But you know what he done? Brother Chuck, I find this more encouraging and more than anything I've ever seen. Read with me in Matthew chapter 11 in verse number 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Brother Joe, I like word study. I like to find out what they mean. Now, there's some big words that I could use this morning that could confuse you, and I'd get so confused we'd have to sit down and go home. But Brother Joe, I like what he said. Notice he didn't say, go and tell John. He didn't say, you just go down there and you tell John I said this. But he said, go and show. Now, if you sit there and you think about that just a minute. Go and show. Well, preacher, we're not supposed to be prideful. Preacher, we're not supposed to go out and make a trophy out of it. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. I'm a trophy of grace. I've not always done, Brother Paul, what I'm supposed to. I've not always lived like I'm supposed to be a preacher. I've not always followed the law to every jot and tittle. But I'm glad Christ came not to destroy the law, but came to fulfill the law, because he took my wretchedness and my wickedness to an old rugged cross on a hill called Golgotha and gave his precious blood to wash me whiter than snow. I fall short every day of the glory of God. I am a sinner. Hey, I'm glad that when we were reading the book of Romans in 3:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That may be Romans 6. But I'm glad this morning, hey, that this flesh is full of sin. It's full of wickedness. I'll never earn my way to heaven. I'll never live my way into heaven. But my name is written in the Lamb's book of life because of who showed up. He told them to go and show John. And notice what he told them to show him. He says, go and show John again. Now, I don't know if you get what he's saying. Brother Paul, he says, remind him of what it is. Brother Robbie, why in the world would he tell his disciples to go and show again, if he had not already seen? There's not a doubt in my mind, some of you are sitting in here this morning. You've seen God at work. Years gone by, Brother Bill, I couldn't help but think and try to imagine, as Brother Marvin was preaching last Sunday, about the services that took place and the old tabernacle and the move of God and the touch of God amongst Rhonda and these young men that were, I tell you what, it excited me, because there was a lot of help for our young people. If you listen to Brother Marvin, he said he went to church to find him a woman. Brother Bill, you did the same thing. I've heard your testimony. There's some help in that if y'all get a hold of that. He didn't go down to the nightclub. He didn't go down to the bar. He didn't go down to the football game, Brother Chuck. He didn't go down anywhere else. He went to church to find him a woman. Amen. Hey, man, some of y'all finally caught on to that train when it come by. You see, we miss all these things. But he says, go and show John again. You know what I like? I like that God passes by around the Baptist Tabernacle every now and then, and he shows us again that he's still God. I like Brother Gwynn in those times in my life, even when I've trusted him, even when I believed him, at my weakest moments, hey, in those darkest times, and I begin to say, hey, God, where are you at? Hey, God, if you love me, why ain't this doing any better? Hey, God, why am I facing what I'm going through? And God shows up, and he does it again. Some of you this morning, you need it again. Some of you need it again and again and again and again. Some of you lost hope in the church because of the wickedness that came through in this generation. Me and Timmy was talking last night. We didn't even listen to the radio, did we, Tim? The only time it got quiet in my truck was coming almost between Burlington and Greensboro, and it was raining so hard you couldn't see the hood. And we kept a trucking. You say, preacher, did you run 70 mile an hour? No, I didn't. I backed it off, but as long as I could see them little reflectors, I had somewhere to go. I knew, Brother Robbie, them reflectors would lead me home. You know what I'm thankful for this morning? Those little glimpses of reflection in this dark world that's living in, that says you're going home. And as we was coming up the road, that moment of quietness came in, and traffic come to a stop. And I'm going to be honest with you, I like following somebody if somebody else is driving in front of me and they know where they're going. I don't mind following. A lot of times I don't like being the leader in bad weather. I just don't like that. You know why? Because I'm going to take the rest of them off the edge of the cliff with me. And we got to one spot, and we got through the rain, and traffic took back off, and it started running again. And Brother Chuck, there wasn't no reflectors. And Timmy said, preacher, if you want me to drive, I will. I thought about pulling over and say, all right, you get out and walk around the truck, and I'll jump over in your seat. No, I'm teasing him. But can I say this to you right now? Some of you need to be shown again. Some of you need to be shown that God is still God again. Some of you might have got saved in your life at a young age, but over the years you've walked astray and you've walked out of the will of God and you've questioned who God is, and God has brought you by this way, and the question burning in your heart is, art thou the one, or should I look for somebody else? Should I look for something to bring me peace? Should I look for something to bring me joy? And God is saying, come and I'll show you again. And we see here, what does Jesus tell them? I want you to notice this. He says this, which you do hear and see, the blind receive their sight. He says, you know what? Those who are wicked, walking in wickedness, he said, I'm still opening their eyes to see. Can I tell you something, Rhonda Tabernacle, and I love you with the bottom of my heart. God's still opening the eyes of the wicked. God is still opening the eyes of the wicked. Notice what he says. He talks about the deaf. He says this. He says the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. He said there's some that's still taking off those ears and beginning to listen to what God says. I'm going to say this to you. I challenge you this morning to walk as close to God as you possibly could. I challenge you to listen to His voice and listen to His call and hear what He has to say and hear what He wants to do in your life and hear how He wants to help you. But He not only says that, but He says this, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be honest this morning. How many sitting in here this morning would consider yourself poor? Praise God, the rest of you rich, you need to tithe double amounts. Really, how many in here this morning, judging by the standards of the country, would you consider yourself poor? Amen, the majority of us in here. You know what, I didn't realize I was poor, Brother Bill, till the first year me and Anna went and got our taxes done, and I found out we was poor. I thought we was living pretty good. Found out we was poor. Found out $22,000 ain't a whole lot. You're poor. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about those who have nothing. There's some of you sitting right here, right now. You have nothing. You have no hope. You have no eternity. You have no joy. You have absolutely nothing. And he says, preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. Can I say this to you this morning? I'm glad there was preachers that preached the gospel to the poor. You know what this morning? All John the Baptist done was preached about Jesus. You know what he said, brother? He said, I'm paraphrasing this, and I can imagine this conversation. But he said, there's one coming who can help you. All I can do is direct you. There's one coming who I'm preaching about can take your sins away. But all I can tell you is how to get there. You know what I'm trying to do this morning? I'm trying to tell you, I can't help you, Brother Chuck. I can't help you, Brother Robbie. Brother Ryan, I can't help you. Brother Gwen, I can't help you. I can't help you. But I can tell you about one who can. And that's all John the Baptist was looking for. And Jesus told him this. He said, let the works speak for themselves. Boy, that right there, we could go a lot of different ways on the works. For a good tree cannot bring evil fruit. An evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. He says, for the fountain cannot put forth sweet water and bitter water. He says, for you either love God or mammon. You either love one and hate the other. He says, you can't be straddling the middle of the fence. You know what our politics and society wants to teach us today? We can dibble-dab in this and dibble-dab in that. You know what our new generations or churches are preaching? You can live like that and God still loves you. I can take you through the book of Psalms and show you where God hates wickedness. Where God hates sin. You know what? The Bible, Paul wrote to the church in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Which means when you get saved, you change. That preacher, you one of them old preachers that believe those who are alcoholics, if they'll get saved and put Jesus in their heart and begin to trust Him as Lord and Savior, that they can leave the addiction of alcohol or drugs or any such as that. I truly believe my God is capable and bigger than any sin this world has ever seen. Y'all all right? You want me to tell y'all something this morning right here? Every single person that's sitting here, you are a miracle. You are a miracle. How many of you this morning are sitting there telling your heart to beat right now? How many of your hearts are just beating because that's what they do? Brother Robbie, I can't stop and thank my heart and say, beat, beat, beat. I'd never get nothing done, Brother Ryan. I'd be saying, beat, 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 lungs draw air, lungs blow out, beat, 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 lungs beat, beat, up, 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 and I'd get confused. And you know what happened? I'd crash this thing. We'd die within 3 minutes. There's not a one of you who've told your lungs to take air in, have you? There's not a one of you that's told your lungs to exhale air. There's not a one of you told your stomach to digest the food, your kidneys to work. You have no control, but yet they are programmed to work. You know what amazes me? I'm just going to continue on this trail right now. We're going to run that rabbit right over to Matthew, and he's going to stomp it here in a minute. But you know what amazes me? Is we'll say that little bitty fetus is not alive. I can't get over this. This has just really stuck with me. We'll say that little bitty fetus, Brother Joe, at 20 weeks is not alive. But yet they'll find a piece of bacteria on Mars and say that's life. I got to quit running that rabbit. I've got to move on. But that amazes me at how smart we are, but really how ignorant science is. Right. We had a preacher, we came from monkeys. My favorite saying. You may look like one, you may smell one, you may act like one, but that don't make you a monkey. Right. You can quack like a duck. You can flop like a duck. You can swim like a duck. But because you're acting like it don't make you a duck. You can put the clothes on of a Christian. You can walk like a Christian. You can talk like a Christian. But because you do it on the outside don't mean on the inside you're a Christian. You know what John said? He said he's the only one.
And this is what I like, and I've got to hurry and get through this. This is what I like. We see John's doubting. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of John this morning. Real quickly. Chapter number 20. Gospel of John, chapter number 20. This is after the resurrection. This is after Christ has raised from the grave. And it says this, verse number 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe." Jesus is resurrected. Brother Robbie, the rest of them seen him. They're telling Thomas that they've seen him. You know what they're doing this in this piece of scripture? They're doing exactly what I'm trying to do to you this morning. I'm trying to tell you he's real. He's alive. He's on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. I don't care what the school says. I don't care what the atheist says. He lives in my heart. I've felt the change. I know what he can do. I've seen the miracles. I've seen the healing. And I believe he's still a God of a great physician. And he says, he's real. He said, he's real. And Thomas says, except I see the print and place my finger in, until I thrust my hand into the side. Some of you sitting this morning say, until I see him, I'll never believe. My friend, I'll tell you this morning. When you see him, it's entirely too late. For when he steps out on the cloud with the voice of the archangel and the trump of the God, and he says, my children, come home. You've missed it all. Preacher, you believe in that fairy tale? Let me say this to you right now. Some of you might sit here this morning and you say, preacher, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in heaven and I don't believe in hell. That's fine. You're okay with that. Preacher, why is that okay? Because it's your life you're playing with. I'm just going to say this morning. Don't you take this the wrong way. I would rather know that he lives and feel him in my heart and take a chance in being a fairy tale, and take a chance in believing that it exists, and take that chance in trusting him with my life, than to die and find out that hell is real. If I die and it's not real, I've not lost a thing. If you die and it's real, you've lost everything. Say, preacher, what kind of game is that? That's playing Russian roulette with a six-shot shooter with three shells in it mixed up and spinning it. That's what it is. One of them will get you. But Jesus and Thomas here, and Jesus has been ascended for another 8 days. Notice what happens. He says this. He says, the other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. You know what amazes me this morning? Brother Ryan, this is what amazes me. They was 12, and one did not believe. But Brother Odin, you know what's even amazing? They was really 12 and two didn't believe. And they spent their days following him in his ministry. Seeing his works. They, some of you that sitting right here this morning, I don't know, but God's letting me say this. Say, somebody sitting here right this morning, you've been in church. You know the functions of church. You've heard preachers preach. You've seen it, but you still don't believe. And they're behind closed doors. Now, you know what's amazing? There was a couple of ladies and a couple of disciples that wanted to touch him. And he said, you can't touch me, for I've not yet ascended. But he shows up and Thomas is there. And he said, Thomas, here's the marks. He said, put your finger in it. He said, here's my side. Thrust your hand into my side. You know what I'm glad of this morning? had all those disciples sitting there. Jesus focused solely in on Thomas. He didn't think about the other 10 at that very moment, Brother Johnny. He was having an intimate relationship with Thomas. And he took his hands and he showed him that he was the Christ. You may be sitting here this morning and Jesus has pulled back his robe. And he's saying, you've not trusted me all these years, but I want you to see the mark. You know what, Brother Robbie? He didn't get any other disciple that close to him. He didn't put it all on everybody else. He did it specifically for Thomas. You know what? This morning, God sent this message by this way because Brother Joe, he wanted to slip up around somebody and he said, I want to deal with you. Brother Chuck, I believe at that moment in time when Thomas seen these things, I believe his mind was overwhelmed. Some of you are sitting here right now this morning and your mind is overwhelmed. He says this. Jesus came, the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'm going to tell you this right now. The best thing that ever happened in my life was falling on my knees and saying, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. And confessing Him as the Lord of my life and trusting in Him as the Lord of my life. I could have done anything else I wanted to do, Brother Chuck, but I fell and I said, my Lord, my God. And I want to say this to you this morning. I've seen the hands of the miracles. You say, preacher, what about little Caleb laying up there in that hospital room and all that heart that you've seen and how it moved you? I'm glad there's coming a day. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's coming a day. He'll suffer no more. He'll hurt no more. He'll anger no more. He'll be in the very presence of God, a great Jehovah, hey, where sickness nor death can come. I'm glad there's healing in God this morning. This world may leave its marks and its scars on your body, but I'm glad He's gone to prepare a place. Preacher, that's foolish. It amazes me this morning how the graveyards keep piling up. And we want to say eternity is foolish. Preacher, I'll argue with you. I don't believe that book's real. It stood for over 2,000 years. Amen. Specifically in the English language, Brother Joe, it has stood for 405 years in that King James Bible. And it has not changed. Although man has changed it and delegated it and took authority away from it and put their hands on it. I'm glad the pure, how true, how unerring, unfallible Word of God has stood that we can preach and proclaim. It's a fairy tale. Why is it still New York Times bestseller? It's a fairy tale, preacher. Why is it still the greatest stolen book out of hotel rooms? I can't help but share this morning. I got to quit. Many of you know Miss Betty Cawthorn back there. Their house burnt some years ago. But Brother Chuck, on the display in their coffee table in the house, is a Bible laying there. It has smoke damage, don't it, Miss Betty? Has a little bit of water damage. But can I tell you, I about won't run on that one. I ain't even a runner. But can I tell you, the gates of hell couldn't even prevail against it. The fires of mankind could not destroy it. And I'm glad even though they lost their whole house, that God's Word was preserved in the midst of the fire. You don't believe me, Miss Betty will let you come by and look at her Bible. Her and Junior's. Let me say this to you this morning. That just don't happen by coincidence. I got to quit. You know what? You're not here by coincidence this morning. God sent you here because He knew now's your time. He knew you've been looking for answers and God says, I am that I am. And He's saying, come unto me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Miss Jody comes and gets a hymn of invitation this morning. We're not going to sing a song. I really believe God's going to do things this morning. I believe you're here for a reason. And I believe God has sent this message because He wants to show you who He is. Maybe you're here this morning. You've been going through a rough patch in your life. You've been going through some trying times. And you just need to slip down here to the altar and say, God, do it again. God, do it again. God, do it again. Lord, show me your hands. Show me your miracles. Can I tell you this morning, I believe it'd do some of us some good to slip out and say, Lord, give me an intimate encounter. Lord, give me the power. Lord, show me those marks. Show me where my sin nailed you to an old tree. Revive in me the spirit that you placed. Oh, God, I need you this morning. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed.